As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And thank you again for downloading the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, and this is the Kentucky Derby episode. Can you feel it? Can you feel the excitement in the city? I tell you, it's very exciting. We're going to have great weather, you know, after such a horrible winter. Complain about the weather all the time. It's great. Even I was listening to Mark Weinberg on WDRB. He sort of makes sunshine sound scary, but it is going to be a great, great Kentucky Derby weekend here in Louisville, KY. Remind you that there is a lot of news about the races and the track and all the festivities of the Kentucky Derby Festival on LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. That's the website that I operate, in addition to the Rusty Satellite Show. And I have certainly got some great guests this week for the show. First up, we're going to have Jack Wolf, who is co-owns Starlight Racing Stables. He has a derby horse called It's a Knockout. Great hunch bet if you're following the horses and in the races. It's a Knockout, as you'll hear, won his first three races this year and then had a horrible outing at the Florida Derby. So we're hoping we can throw that one out, and It's a Knockout will come home first for a Louisville, a native Louisvillian who left town, had a great career in Atlanta, came back, and is doing some great things in addition to running a stable. He does the Thoroughbred Africa Alliance. You're going to really enjoy hearing from Jack Wolf. And I want to remind you that on May 11th, Jack will be the speaker, along with his wife, Lori, at the Breakfast of Champions. Every 2 months, I host a breakfast at the University Club on campus, along with some of my colleagues, and you're welcome to come. It's $20 at the door. You get a fabulous hot breakfast from the University Club, and you'll get to hear about racing from Jack Wolf and Lori Wolf and some of the projects that they're involved in. You'll hear more about him later in the show. First up, we're going to have a guy. When I saw the press release came out about this, I was fascinated, and I want you to stay tuned for the second half of the show. You're going to meet Benjamin Duke, who is Louisville's artist in residence, and I'll tell you all about that in a future part of in the second half of the show. Benjamin went down to meet him down in Nulu. He's staying in a condo for a few weeks. He is in residence for a few weeks, and of course the Louisville leadership team chose the weeks of the Kentucky Derby Festival to have the artist in residence here. He's got a very exciting project that you're going to want to hear about. I tell you, I just think you are. So let's just go ahead and get on with the show, shall we? This is I went over the Dawn at the Downs this morning, and just really, that is something I tell people from out of town, that, you know, find a way to do that one time. It's a unique experience. It's a wonderful atmosphere over there. You can just walk right in the gate. It doesn't cost anything to get in, and you can get right up close to the horses. You'll see on LouisvilleKY.com, I've got my photographer Bill Breimer was out there. He got some great shots of all the Derby horses, at least most of the Derby horses, and a special attention to It's a Knockout with Jack Wolf's horse. But it's a very cool place to be. It really gets you in the mood, in the spirit. It's the equivalent of, I guess, hearing your first Christmas song in at Christmas season. It gets you in the mood for all the stuff that's going on during Derby week. And, you know, I've really been fortunate. I've been involved in a lot of Derby events this year, from the bed races on Monday night to tonight. I'm recording this on Wednesday. I'm going on the Great Steamboat Race and looking forward to that. And then the Kentucky Derby Festival Beer Fest, of course, is going on. There was Wine Fest last night. I'm surprised there's not a Kentucky Derby Festival Bourbon Fest, but I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities to sample Kentucky's finest bourbon throughout the city all weekend. So let's get on with the show. I've got plenty more coming up in the middle of the show, and my interview with Benjamin Duke coming up later. But Jack Wolf is a Louisville native on Starlight Racing Stables, has It's a Knockout in the Derby. And here's my conversation I had over on the backside with Jack Wolf. And today I'm outside the barns in a beautiful Wednesday morning before the Derby with Jack Wolf. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, now, this is a big week. Tell me about your horse.
It's a Knockout?
Yeah, that one, the Derby horse.
He seems to be doing well. It looks like the other horses in the race, he's got a lot to make up, but we went to the trainer's dinner last night, and if you listen to everybody there, the experts, it's a one-horse race, American Pharoah.
So, that's right.
Hopefully we can...
Well, there's been a lot of favorites beaten in the Derby before.
Right.
So, but you have an Oaks horse, too.
Yes.
And tell me about
well,
it. Tell me about
my
it.
Wife does. Star okay. Ladies is her partnership.
Okay.
Which consists of five fillies. This is her first year going, and this asking for money. I think the morning line, she pulled hole number four, and I think she's 20-1. But wow. Hopefully you'll see her out here. She looks great, and she seems to be doing well, too.
Okay, great. Well, I want to talk a little bit with you about your background. I know you're from Louisville, and tell me how you basically at some point left Louisville and now you're back.
Right. Well, I left Louisville in '67, I guess. I went to St. X here, and then went to Murray State, stayed down there for 6 years, and then most of my life I spent in Atlanta. And mm-hmm. when we got in the horse business in 2000, we were in Sarasota, Florida, actually, and then decided to move back to Louisville about 8 years ago because of the horse business.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And, you know, a lot of people, I guess, get into the horse business, but you've had some success.
You know, I was talking to somebody, yes, you know, actually being interviewed on a show and mm-hmm. Talking about partnerships, and one of the things that I said on the deal was that you know, we if you decide to get in the business, Brad, watch your back here, you know, you should give yourself at least 3 years to see mm-hmm. if you can make a go of it. So we were lucky enough in our first crop that we bought, Harlan's Holiday was in there, which he, if we hadn't had a horse like that, I don't know if we'd lasted 3 years, but we've been doing it now for 15 years. So.
Okay. And now you have had, you've had a Derby horse before? You've had Derby horses before?
Yeah,
right?
This will be our seventh Derby horse. We haven't done that well, but it's been fun.
Well, that you know, it must. I'm thinking about the thrill. You know, I've seen all aspects of the Derby, but I can imagine just having a horse in the race and being able to make that walk from over here on the backside to the front. That's got to be quite a thrill, right?
Right. And last year we had two horses in the Derby, and I guess we had maybe 50 people walking the horses over. They're going to tighten down on it this year. They're limited to 18 passes per horse. So
wow.
It may be a little bit better under control this year.
Okay. Now, I know you. We have an event coming up on May 11th, Breakfast of Champions. You're going to come with your wife, and she's very involved in the business. Tell me a little bit about Lori.
About her involvement
in the horse race.
Right. Well, she and Barbara Lucarelli, we've been together, doing this for 15 years. So she and I started buying horses together, and so she's been in a good while. And then I guess 2 years ago, she and Barb Lucarelli, who's married to Donnie Lucarelli, my partner, decided to start a Star Ladies partnership. And I'd say about 60% of the partners are also in Starlight, but 40% are just in Star Ladies. So they bought five fillies the first year, bought five fillies the second year. The second group of fillies are now two-year-olds, and they look like it's going to be a good crop. And it's funny, sometimes the first year that people get in the business, they get a big horse, and their group's been lucky enough to have a big horse.
Yeah. Well, this one for sure. But aren't you all both doing a lot to get more people involved in the game?
Yeah, we I think it's important to try and, as a member in this industry, to try to attract new owners, and I mean, it's a great experience, and I like to go to the races, and I like to come to the backside, and we need more people in.
Yeah. Well, I tell you can't beat a morning like this out
it's
here.
Beautiful. we've been lucky with this weather.
It really is. So I just want to get a little more into the background, and let's talk about It's a Knockout for a minute a little more. Now, I know that he had a great spring, except for one race, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He was undefeated going into the Florida Derby. I guess he was actually the third choice in the Florida Derby behind the two horses that came 1-2. I think that trainers and owners and riders try to look for excuses when the horse doesn't run as expected. But he did have a bad day. I guess the excuses are that he didn't take to the track and had a pretty bad trip. But he's since then he's had a couple of good breezes, three breezes, and he had a breeze over the surface here the other day. And the exercise rider told me afterwards that it was the best breeze that he's had.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. So. Well, a lot of people, you hear everything. I think what people want to do is they want to be able to explain it if he wins, right? So a lot of times you throw out that one bad race, right?
We've been hanging around out here for the last week with all the experts, and I don't think one person has picked our horse. So maybe
okay,
that's
well,
good,
I'm not
right?
an expert, but I'm going the hunch bet. I'm betting It's a Knockout. The Derby.
Rick, you're the first one.
There you go. That's funny. I want to get one more topic in with you, and that is your work. And you're going to have to explain it to me, because I read a little bit about it's an alliance for is it for retired horses that you work with?
Right. It's the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. I guess 4 years ago, I tried to get the industry together to do something, and the something in this case was the care for the Thoroughbreds once you're through. So the industry really got behind it. We got a great board. Keeneland, a jockey club, and Breeders' Cup gave us the seed money. And first year, we awarded over $1 million to the aftercare, different outfits.
Okay.
I think this last year, we're about $2.5 million.
Now, what do these organizations do? Take care of horses after their racing days are over?
Yeah. A perfect example, we gave a grant to Old Friends up in Lexington that has retired racehorses. Champions, we were up there the other day, and Silver Charm was there, Actually, Baffert was talking last night at the dinner that he was up there yesterday, and he almost started to come to tears when he was talking about it. So, you know, outfits like that, which is a sanctuary, and then we grant monies to outfits that are retraining the horses. And,
okay.
So it's a very good accreditation policy. It's very, very strict, and we keep on top of that so that the horses are being, you know, taken care of properly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like a great cause. Well, we want to wrap it up here, but I want to get an idea of what your Derby Day is like. You know, I'm sure you come out here first thing in the morning, but take me through a little bit of your day, how you spend Derby Day.
Yeah, my wife doesn't like getting out here till like 2 o'clock. I'm out here at 9 o'clock, but you know, we have a lot of friends and family in for the day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get up and, you know, have a brunch and come on out to the track and just hang out and start going. And
yeah.
Afterwards, we'll go back to the house and, you know, have some food and friends and family. And this particular year, hopefully I can stay up late enough to watch the fight.
Well, I know the track has created this whole new area for the connections to the horses. You've checked that out over there?
I'm not. What is it?
They've got a little area that they've created just this year around the winner's circle for it's specifically for the connections of the ownership.
Now, are those the new suites, or it's in the winner's circle, or what?
It's right next to the winner's circle.
Okay, yeah.
So,
if it's the suites you're talking about, we were over there the other day, and, you know, Churchill's really done a good job to try to cater more to the owners, and what they've done this year is given us 18 seats in those suite areas, which is very conveniently located,
mm-hmm.
where you can get into the paddock, you can come over to the backside, and when the walkover takes place, it's going to be real easy.
Mm-hmm.
To get everybody together and get them out and bring them back. So, yeah.
And a nice short walk to the winner's circle.
Well, that's the other good thing.
that's great. Well, I want to wish you the best of luck. We'll be watching It's a Knockout and your Oaks horse on Friday. I forgot the name.
Asking for money.
We'll be looking forward to that. Good luck to you. Okay. And we'll see you May 11th at the Breakfast of Champions.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks,
thank
Rick.
You.
Okay.
All right.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
So there you go. You got plenty of reason now to pull for It's a Knockout in the Derby and asking for the money. I don't know why I can't remember that, but Jack told me three times what the name of the horse is in the Kentucky Oaks. I will be over there. I'll put a few dollars down on that horse just because I got to know him and like him. I hope you do, too. Want to mention one of my sponsors right now, Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza. It's a wonderful place. It's right up the street from my house. Had a had an event there the other day. I saw on Facebook they have now opened an outdoor seating area over there. So al fresco dining and all that entails right there at Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza. It's where Ferd Grisani's used to be on Taylorsville Road in J-Town. Check it out. It's good food and good music. I'm sure that'll be a rockin' this weekend. I think I'm going to recommend to my guests that are in town, courtesy of an Airbnb listing. You might hear a lot about people renting out their houses for Derby. These folks made this reservation. I got some people coming in from Colorado. They reserved my house back in like September or October, and they're very excited about coming into town and experience all that is Derby. I used to do this. It was so fun bringing out of towners to experience the Derby with you. Hope you've done that. I used to bring my college buddies home from Western and from all over the place. People from other parts of Indiana and other states, and actually introduced my good friend Mark Hebert to the Derby when we were in college, and we just had a ball. You can't help but have fun going to the Derby. So anyway, let's just imagine for a minute, if it weren't Derby week here in Louisville, what would be going on? What would we be talking about? Well, the news just came out today on Wednesday that a grand jury will not indict former UofL basketball player Chris Jones in a rape case. And I've been particularly interested in this case for a number of reasons. Certainly it's prominent that the defendant is prominent. There's been a lot of stories about what happened, but there's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot in the police reports. There's a lot of things that we don't know, and that only people that were in that room when that event happened. Chris Jones is a UofL basketball player, is accused of rape and sodomy involving two women who on the University of Louisville campus. It just came out today in that he will not have to face trial on those charges. And, on the one hand, I'm ready to say good for him. On the other hand, I would just wonder, as much courage as it takes for a young woman to stand up and make this charge, how in all the media reports, and I know nothing but what's in the media, all the reports in the media are that there was plenty of evidence. Jones's attorneys, you might question, where did this young man get the money to hire Scott Cox as his attorney? Well, I don't know, but his attorney has claimed all along there wouldn't be enough evidence to invite, and he proved to be right. But in the bigger picture, and I want to tell you, this is something that I've spent a lot of the last week. I listen to audiobooks in my car when I'm driving all the way out to work, about a 30-40 minute ride each day. I've been listening to this book, Missoula. It's written by John Krakauer, and who is a celebrated author. You might remember End of the Wild, his story of a guy that disappeared in the Alaskan wilderness. They made a movie out of it. It was really good. Well, Krakauer investigated the prevalence of sexual assault on college campuses, and if you read the book or listen to it as I did, you will come away, I'm sure, with the impression that a lot of young women who are sexually assaulted on campus do not have a very difficult time getting their cases prosecuted by local attorneys. In Missoula, there was a series of incidents of sexual assaults on campus that were reported. It was known as the rape capital of America. And a lot of these cases, just like here in Louisville, a lot of these cases that were profiled in the book involved athletes. And the University of Montana, the Montana football team is the biggest deal going out there. And each of these women, there are many problems. Nobody's got a solution to this problem of sexual assault on campus. But I'll tell you, the prevalence of alcohol in every case is just the big problem. I think if you could eliminate alcohol, you would eliminate the whole problem. But that's true for a lot of problems in our society. But and I'm not coming down against alcohol, but the college athletes and some of these co-eds, they get so drunk, and then it's a matter of recreating and who believes what, and it's a very difficult crime to prosecute. The book would cite a statistics that said, I think 90% of the rapes that happen in our country are not reported. It's a huge issue, and I'm not sure that the a lot of these women that come forward with the charges, that certainly they're drunk at the time, that works against them. The question comes down to consent, as it did in the Chris Jones case, whether there was consent or not. So if you're interested in this topic, and I think you've found a lot of parallels with what's happened in Louisville, pick up that book, Missoula, by John Krakauer. It's really a fascinating read on a very important subject that affects the lives of the victim and the perpetrator are affected dramatically and for life by these incidents. And let's hope that everybody, the victims in this case, are able to go on with their lives, and that they weren't named in the media, at least the two female victims, but you know, it certainly dramatically altered their lives, and the lives of the women profiled in the Missoula book certainly were never the same after the incidences of sexual assault occurred. So that's a big topic in the headlines this week. Outside of what's going on with the Derby, the other big story I think on campus is about the U of L Foundation, and there is a movement afoot. A couple of the board, and in fact, Rusty Satellite alumnus Craig Greenberg was one of those who is calling for an audit of the University of Louisville Foundation. It seems that they're questioning payments made to President James Ramsey and two of his staff members that seem excessive. I'll tell you, it seems excessive. You know, I don't know the details. I don't know how they justify paying these people so much money in deferred compensation, but you can bet it's not going to die. This is a topic that's not going to die. It does seem like over at U of L they sort of spend a lot of money on salaries. To me, that's just my observation. So anyway, those are the two big stories I've been following. But really, we're really here to talk about the Derby this week. If you're going over to the track, I'm sure you've seen in the media, there's a lot of a list of things that you can't take in. The big sport used to be back, and I remember my college days, we used to come up with creative ways to take alcohol into the Derby. These days, I just buy it there. You know, it is more expensive, but I guess I don't need to drink the massive quantities I did as in my 20s, and I can still have fun, and it's great. I had a great time with my girlfriend Paula last week. We sort of write about our experiences on LouisvilleKY.com. I urge you to follow that site and see what's going on with us and what's going on as we get closer to the race. I want, you know, and if you're following the horses, I talked to John Bowl, a former Rusty Satellite guest down at Dawn at the Downs today. He's really studying each of the horses, trying to come up with a reason that somebody is going to win. Somebody's going to have the one of these horses, one of these athletes is going to have all cylinders will be clicking and things are going to go right. And it may be a favorite. It may be American Pharoah or Dortmund is another horse in the same barn. International Star is a big name. But there's 20 horses that make it all the way. And the odds of any horse getting into the starting gate at the Kentucky Derby are very long. What's really amazing, as you heard with Jack Wolf, just started in the business 15 years ago, and he's had, I think he's had seven Derby entrants, but hasn't won yet. You know, last week we had Pat Day on, and amazingly enough, Pat Day's the all-time leading rider at Churchill Downs. He only won once in 22 attempts at the Derby. So it's history. Whatever happens, it's history. It's going to be exciting. I predict Churchill is going to draw maybe the biggest crowd of all time because the weather is supposed to be so nice. So very much looking forward to getting out to the Derby on Saturday and picking a winner. Let's hope. Okay, let's move on. I want to introduce you to my next guest. It's a new program in Louisville. Benjamin Duke is an art professor at Michigan State University, and he is in town for 3 weeks absorbing all he can about Louisville and Kentucky to create a great piece of art that's going to hang in the mayor's conference room. It's going to be 8 feet by 8 feet, and it's going to encompass all the things that Mr. Duke has experienced. He's really a delightful young man, a lot of fun to be around, very enthusiastic. You can't see it. I know it's audio only, but when Benjamin talks, his hands are moving around a mile a minute. He's really expressive and enthusiastic, and I think you'll like him. And I'm very anxious to hear, to see the piece of art. We probably won't see it till the fall, but I'm very excited to see what he comes up with, what he produces out of his experience here in Louisville. It's all going to be something big, something we take pride in. I hope the mayor's office makes the piece available in some way to the public. I'm sure they'll figure out a way, even if only because I suggested it here on the Rusty Satellite Show. So let's get on with it. Here's my interview with Benjamin Duke, Louisville's artist in residence. All right, I'm here with Benjamin Duke, the artist in residence for the city of Louisville. And Benjamin, tell me what that's all about.
So to describe the program, I was brought in to make a painting for the city hall, and it was provided to the city by an anonymous donor. And the program includes a artist in residency, which means that I come to Louisville for about 3 weeks and go around the city and try and experience, you know, a lot of the events, and then make a painting that's based out of that experience.
Okay, so this is going to be, as a result of this program, you told me it's an 8x8, a big, giant, huge painting. It's going to hang in the mayor's office, right?
That's right.
Okay.
In his conference room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't imagine, you know, all the things about Louisville. You know, you're taking it all in 3 weeks. Give us a clue as to what might be in the painting.
Well, I've been trying to go to the events associated with Derby, you know, beginning with Thunder over Louisville, which is the weekend that I came in. And then I'm also trying to go around and explore the various neighborhoods and try and meet people and try and get, you know, people's different senses of what Louisville means to them. And then I'm going to try and blend that together into the painting. So,
all right. So you're here. I'm not surprised. Somebody wants to show off Louisville. This is the time to be here. Give me some of your initial impressions of the city.
You know, in terms of the larger events, especially with Thunder, which I've already attended, you know, what was great about it is just the way that it seemed like everyone turned out to it. You know, mm-hmm. It was like that, and, you know, when you get like everyone from a community like coming into one place at one time, then you get this like sense of different people's lives. You know, it's like the way that our lives are written right on our bodies, maybe like tattoos or the clothes that we wear or the way that we carry ourselves. And then you just blend that in with that larger interaction, you know. And so it's just that for me, you know, just like being dropped into that experience, mm-hmm. it's pretty exciting to just, you know, see people, you know, the wild diversity living, if you
will. Well, and you have coming up the ultimate weekend in Louisville. Tell me how you're going to spend Derby Day.
Well, I just picked up my press pass to go to Derby this morning, and I'm going to try and approach it the same way that I've been approaching everything else, which means try and keep my eyes open, look around, and see what there is to see.
Wow. Well, yeah, good luck. There's a Sea of Humanity over there. It's going to be great weather, and it should be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about, you know, the spectacle of the entire event is pretty compelling and dynamic.
So do you have a party to go to Friday night? I'm just interested in the perspective of somebody that's not done it every year like I have all these years.
Yeah. Maybe you need to tell me which party to go to. I was invited to a party at the city hall, which I'll probably see if I can sneak in the back door to.
Okay, well, that will probably be boring. You need to go to some of the bigger ones.
You can give me a list.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background. I mean, like I said, dropped into Louisville, selected for this artist in residence program, but you're actually a college professor at Michigan State.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So, actually, I was born in Louisville, so this is kind of a homecoming of sorts.
Haven't been back since?
No, not really. My father was in the military, so that's why, you know, that's why I was born here, but we moved around a lot. I actually grew up mostly in Utah, and did my undergraduate work there, did my graduate degree at the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore, and got hired on at Michigan State right after I graduated in 2006, mm-hmm. and I've been teaching at Michigan State ever since.
Wow. And on the college level, I'm just curious about what kind of curriculum, you know, how has art changed? You know, what's it like to be a professor of art at Michigan State?
Yeah, well, it's great, first of all. I'm so glad that they hired me, and it allows me to pursue my own art in addition to being able to work with students. Mm-hmm. And I teach all levels, so I'm actually, my title is like Foundations Faculty, so that's beginning level, so my emphasis is at the beginning level, but I teach all levels of painting and drawing, and I also work with graduate students.
Okay, okay. Let's talk a little bit about your career as, outside of academia, but as an artist. How would you describe, let's say, your style?
Describe my style. Well, I'm a figurative artist, and I like to create narratives. So if you wanted to maybe start to label it, then maybe you would call me like a figure narrative.
Okay.
So I'm just telling stories, you know. And I think of the painting as like, you know, a window onto a particular experience. So, I'll create the painting as a kind of montage of various events that are all trying to point toward one idea or a visual idea. So if I wanted to break that out a little bit, you know, a little bit more, a lot of my paintings have like one large figure ground relationship, which mm-hmm. just means something that you can recognize, like, you know, a tree against a sky. That would be one figure ground relationship.
Sure.
But in my case, that figure would be a composite of multiples. So I like to group like multiple people, stick them all together in one larger figure ground relationship, kind of as a visual metaphor for the ways in which groups take on an identity in itself, or the way that we are a small part in these larger, maybe you want to call them super organisms, if you will, like that's E.O. Wilson's term, or something like I just recently read this great book by Timothy Morton called Hyper Objects, which talks about those larger bodies that we all kind of co-inhabit, if you will, you know.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is really explore my own experience, you know, at its core, you know, a work of art ends up being like this subjective kind of take on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do that by drawing someone in. So I want to make a very compelling image and embed my ideas into, you know, the visual idea.
Okay. Okay.
I
feel sorry for our listening audience out there because there's all these hand gestures going on and all that, and we're just missing out on. And that if you're just listening, but it sounds great. Now, you know,
if the listeners wanted to follow along, you know, they could go to my website.
There you go,
benduke.art.com, and you can see examples of what I'm talking about there. And it is. Art, of course, is a visual experience, so supplementing that with
doesn't the translate to audio very well, but we're doing our best here.
Okay.
Saw this finished piece. Now have the folks in the mayor's office, they talk to you about anything other than putting it up on the wall? There's not going to be prints or anything that people could access if they don't have a meeting with the mayor.
That's a great idea. We'll have to,
I'm in marketing. Maybe I could help you out with that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. Okay, so you're in here for Derby Week. Tell me about tell me what's on your agenda.
Well, I'm going to go to the parade, Pegasus Parade, and then I'm going to try and go to the Oaks, and I'm going to try and go to the Derby.
Okay.
What else do I need to hit?
That's it. See, well, the thing you need to know is that the Derby is like, you know, it's like 25 experiences all at once. So depending on where you go and what part of the track you're on, you can have a totally, you know, different experience. So, my advice is to go to as many parts of the track as you can.
Yeah. I think that the pass gives me access to...
you'll probably have a better pass than I do. But the crowds in the paddock and the celebrity parts and you really... You go over to the backside this morning where you were there, or you just went over to...
I just went up to the rail.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, tomorrow you need to go to the backside, which is where the horses are stabled and all that. That's a totally different experience of way to do it. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'll be happy to act as your tour guide, but you know anything about betting?
Lay it out for me. I mean, I
put your money on a win. There's win, plays, and show bets, and you choose a horse, and
yeah,
you can win money.
Yeah,
it's a great idea. Most people don't, however.
Yeah.
So really, so you're here. You don't have an experience. There's no tracks in Michigan. I guess you're not.
There is you know, some tracks. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm not even sure what it's called, but you know, the kind of like chariots.
Oh yeah, steeplechase probably.
Yeah, so
steeplechase.
Yeah.
But you haven't been to a thoroughbred horse track
no.
before.
No.
Okay,
well, first time.
That's a good one to go to for yeah. the first time. So good. So you finish up, and I see you here in your condo here. You've got a few examples of sort of starts, but I'm just still trying to imagine this great piece. It's going to have a lot, I guess, scenes from. Ideally, it sounds like it'll have scenes from different parts of your experience here.
Right. So, you know, when I make a painting, often I'll just start with a sense of its composition. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that might start with just dividing up what we call the picture plane. So dividing up the area of the image.
Okay.
And, you know, so where are the figures going to go? What postures are they going to be taking? You know, and so I can work, you know, for a long time on just what, you know, what's the space going to be, what's the painting going to feel like. Mm-hmm. Then I populate the image, you know, by either getting models or going through photos that I've taken, and create the painting in that way.
Okay.
You know, so it's not that it's going to be like a direct one-to-one relationship with like the visual world, but rather what I'm trying to create is something that feels real. So for me, if I pay close attention to my own perception of the world, then things don't really look like, you know, what I think they look like, you know. And I'm someone who wears glasses, for example, so it's yeah. like the world looks really different if I have the glasses on or if I have the glasses off, or the way that I can see around the frames, you know, which is just, and you know, another example or a metaphor for how I'm trying to describe, you know, an experience of the world, which is visually what the world might look like, but then also like a kind of question of like what's possible in the world. Okay. You know, so there it's like this question of like the way that we have these narrative overlays that start to determine how I understand my experience. You know, so for example, I'm going to be going to Derby, and they gave me a press pass, and I've never even had a press pass before. And so there's a kind of narrative that's being spun out there. I am an artist, and I'm, you know, here to, right. And all of that is true, of course, right? But it's like I'm experiencing the world from that vantage point. It just like you are a radio talk show host, and you're experiencing the world from that narrative overlay, right? And so with the painting, I'm trying to, you know, blend these kinds of, like, possibilities, these different ways of potentially seeing the world into one image. And then, of course, you know, kind of my goal here is to try and, like, peel apart a little bit about some of those ways of seeing the world that exist here in Louisville. So it's not just about the Derby, which is this collective, you know, like, group story that we tell ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. This spectacle. But then also the ways in which, like, while you're there, you might see, you know, in someone else's eyes, like, the window into their world, if you want to put it like that.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. I've let you ramble on. We're out of time. But I do hope you enjoy the Derby, and I can't wait to see the piece of art. Talk to the folks in the mayor's office about my marketing idea for the painting. I think that would
if you want to if you want to hit that up.
And a thank you once again to my guest, Benjamin Duke, Louisville's artist in residence, and Jack Wolf, who is the owner of It's a Knockout in the 141st Kentucky Derby coming up Saturday right here at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Very excited about what's going on. I'll be at the track. Hope you are too. Me and, you know, 150,000 other people. If you see Benjamin Duke walking around, he sounds like he's really not, I think he needs a guide or something. But great to see the enthusiasm of somebody who's doing something for the first time. I tell you, I wrote a story a couple of years ago
Actually, it appeared in the Boise Tribune, if you can believe it or not, about all the different ways I've experienced the Derby. Everything from being a busboy on Millionaire's Row to a reveler in the infield. I've covered it from a media perspective, and actually only twice in my life have I been outside the city limits when the Derby was going on. And the first was in 1989 when Sunday Silence won. It was cold, rainy, awful weather. I was kind of glad I stopped my streak at that point. I'd been to 8 or 9 Derby infields in a row. I stopped and was enjoying some great weather in North Carolina. The other time was 98. I was in Hawaii on a trip that couldn't be taken any time but Derby week. And other than that, I've been in Louisville, Kentucky every year. So for all the news about what's going on with the Derby and everything else in town, I certainly encourage you to become a follower of LouisvilleKY.com. There's a newsletter sign-up sheet right there on the site if you'd like to get a weekly newsletter from Louisville KY and see who's on the Rusty Satellite Show each week. It's always a great thing. I want to give some thank yous now to my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, who puts the show together every week. Passport Health Plans has been my sponsor from the very beginning. We're almost a show, believe it or not, this is show 95. We're almost a show number 100. It's a labor of love here. I love meeting the most interesting people in the Ville. If you have any suggestions for the show, I'm always glad to hear them. And we'll keep doing it. We're going to keep moving on and finding more of the most interesting people in the Ville. Till then, this is Rick Redding, your host, wishing you a happy Derby from the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.